5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I had a pair of bathers on.
Put moron number two on the phone.
What a hero.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listen to the Rush Hour.
Feel good.
Well, of course you feel good. Yes. You're listening to this show, which everyone does. A Tex Walker, not far away, the Texan.
The Texan.
Just re-signed.
Texan!
1 year.
Love that. Playing very good football. We get some nice feedback from Hose. Of course, been away for a couple of weeks. And then the second hour, the big Duke wanders in.
Wow.
Luke Darcy, because his daughter is a world champion rower.
She is.
You're going to find out all about that from him. Hello to you, Willis.
Oh, g'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Second day in the studio. Very, very nice indeed. Still worried about sitting across from you and looking you in the eye. No, I like it. But great to see this man here. He had glasses on before. He didn't look right.
Great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Dwayne has taken the time to call. So, Dwayne, on the road. Welcome to you, Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Dwayne.
That's good.
That's a lot of Dwaynes.
It should be Shane, because that's his name.
You don't have to say that, Bill. He's worked his way through to being a Dwayne or the Dwayne Pipe.
He's an imposter.
Good
it's
man.
Not his real name. Good bloke. Not bad. Not bad. Jeez, we've had some interesting nights out, Jim, let me tell you. I'd love to tell you about Dwayne.
I don't reckon.
Stonehenge.
We drove to Stonehenge together.
The handbrake.
He was doing 360 Ks or whatever he was doing. Wow, I've never seen a car drive as fast. He loves his fast cars. But it's all about a nice sports wrap from Billy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Jimmy boy, the biggest story in footy, of course, is this one that I'm about to tell you about. It happened at the Carlton press conference today. Harry Mackay was a spokesperson at the Carlton press conference, and he was asked this.
And just finally, there's been some talk in some media circles, so I have to ask, Harry, Ben, are you the same person?
No comment.
No comment, Jim.
Bill.
No comment.
That's the biggest story in football.
It is today. He said no comment. He could have shot it down right there and said, I'm Harry, Ben plays with North, but he said no comment.
Because it's so stupid he wouldn't do that.
No, it wasn't. It was a very good question from our girl.
Nat Ioannidis.
Yeah, good on you, Nat. She's onto it.
No, she's good.
Yes.
You aren't.
But
biggest story in football
today. Well, there's another
one. Another one, right.
David Noble is standing down, or has stood down, Jim, as coach of North Melbourne after meetings yesterday. President Sonia Wood.
Hood.
Sorry, Sonia.
Sonia Hood, yep.
Sonia Hood was asked, why did he get the flick?
While we appreciate that we are at the beginning of a rebuild, it doesn't give us a free pass in terms of expecting competitive performances. We entered this season optimistic about 2022 because of our record in the second half of 2021 and solid off-field, off-season recruiting. Resisting the urge to dream big, we set a simple benchmark, improve on last year, compete consistently against the teams around us on the ladder and play a brand of football that challenged the competition's best teams. Put simply, we have failed to live up to those expectations, and that is why we've agreed to end David's tenure as coach.
Always sad when a coach gets the lemonade and sass. What are your thoughts?
Well,
you were there a long time. You built the club up.
Interesting what she said about competing consistently with the teams around you.
Yeah.
So I quietly was very worried about round 15, which was the game against Adelaide in Tassie.
Yes.
57-point loss. It's a 10-goal loss to a side that aren't actually that good.
That's right.
We're going to talk to Tex.
Yeah.
They're in a similar rebuilding phase,
spot
you know.
On.
So
yeah.
I don't think anyone expected Adelaide to be anywhere but where they are now. So that when you go to your home ground, and Blunston Arena is North Melbourne's home ground where they play bloody good footy as
they
a rule,
do. Yep.
And you get beaten by 10 goals by a side that aren't really that great, that way. Getting beaten well by Geelong down in Geelong is no crime.
No.
Geelong are the best side in the comp.
Especially down there.
Down there. But that was a bad loss. So I reckon that might have started ringing some very loud alarm bells.
Right. What about the review hasn't finished yet? And he's been sacked.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about the review. I haven't spoken to Jeff Walsh or anyone at the club, actually. Mm. So I don't know what's left to review. But clearly it just became untenable. Fair.
Patch Adams is the interim coach.
Yeah, little Patch, good man.
Good man, good man. Now, the last two coaches have been Rhys Shaw and David Noble. So the next coach has got to be the right man. And 100%. You make one call only. It's got to be to Alistair Clarkson.
Well, you would certainly be speaking to him.
That's your first call.
No doubt.
And second
Best
and third.
In show.
Yep.
But he's not the only one. I mean, I 100% agree that they should be very quickly canvassing him. But Don Pike, we spoke to on the weekend, I would definitely be calling him.
Right.
Ross Lyon, who works with us. I don't know how interested Ross is in coaching.
What would Ross say?
Again.
Rabs, you know him well.
I think he's very happy not coaching, but you never know.
You'd certainly be ringing these people
exactly.
and just saying, do you want to have a conversation with us? Because we'd love to have a conversation with you.
I tell you what you always find interesting about these press or media conferences. You got two people there. You have the CEO, the coach, and you have the president. The president and the CEO have sacked the bloke and he's sitting there.
Yeah.
It's always a bit awkward, isn't it?
Very
like
strange.
You've got two there that have sacked this bloke and he turns up. Good effort by the sack coaches to turn up.
Oh, look, Bill, I totally agree. And you know when you take the job on, whether it's at North Melbourne or any other club, you are only there until you get sacked.
Yeah.
Very few coaches actually put their hand up and say, I've had enough. Most of them end up getting sacked at some stage.
Exactly.
But it is sad. It's sad for David and his family who would have come in with high hopes as to what he could do in the role. So, yeah, I'm with you. I never like seeing it.
No.
So, whichever club it is, you always feel sad for the person.
But the next coach is very, very, very important.
Agreed.
At that joint. Tex Walker, as you said, has signed a one-year deal. He at the Crows, so we'll talk to him later. Do you watch a cricket, Jim? Australia.
I saw the scores.
Bowled out for 151 in the second innings.
Well, if I was like you, and that's classless, I would have gone to Maddie and said, dig out what I said yesterday so I can play it and show how right I was.
What did you say?
I said it's going to be a very tricky second innings for Australia. It's exactly what I said, and they were bowled out.
Yes.
Very quickly to lose the game.
Jaya Saraya, in his first test match, 6 for 59. Mm. So how come he can spin it, and we got a couple of blokes that couldn't turn?
Oh, I think as the game gets older, Bill, it tends to turn
more. We're only in for about 20 overs.
It was a very, very difficult third innings, and we failed badly.
I tell you where else we fail. DRS.
Yes.
Now, David Warner, LB, Plum, goes upstairs. So we're down to two.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith, you could not get Plummer. Plum as the plums that Nana used to pick off the tree and make some lovely plum sauce.
Yes.
Absolutely Plum. Guess what Smudge does? Goes upstairs. No. You can't do that.
Well,
so we're two down.
But what
in
about
our DRSs?
With the ball? We're horrendous in the field as well.
What's wrong?
I think there
with
was
us?
At least two that would have been given out if we had reviews, but we didn't have any left.
Oh, I know.
No, Tim Payne wasn't great. And now we're worse.
Can we just a player gets a game because he's very good at the DRSs? He fields at first slip. He bats at 11.
Yeah, but
he's
knows the DRS.
That'd help us.
I would be.
Melbourne Storm urging all fans to get Amy Park this Sunday, Jim, at 4:05.
They've got to turn things around, Rugby League.
Well, guess why they've got to go? They've got to honour the greatest player ever at Melbourne Storm. Cam Smith is back.
For sure.
Yes, the Eastern Stand of Amy Park.
Yes.
Will be called the Cameron Smith Stand. Cameron Smith Stand.
Yes.
So he's going to be there. Get in, honour the great man, bring some ham along, put it on your head. That'll be funny.
Back for his 78th birthday.
Exactly.
Well,
so we should. Wonder if we could get him on. We should. He used to come on all the time. Then he started knocking us back.
Snippy.
So there's 4:05 on Sunday at Amy Park and honour the great man, Cameron Smith.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyway, I'm going to move on.
Triple M. We're joined by Adelaide Crows superstar Tex Walker.
On the field, our next guest is in career best form.
Have a look at Tex and kick on the way.
Oh, he's kicked it.
He has run the
But his joke-telling form is about as good as Billy's.
You boys heard about the man that had an accident while playing peekaboo?
No.
He's currently in ICU.
Please welcome the Texan, Taylor Walker.
That's the same type of crap you come out with.
That's a terrible joke.
Texan!
Oh. Hello, boys. How are you?
Where are you? And who you got with you?
I've got my youngest. He just thought he'd just whack his head into a window, so he's
Louis. Hugo Bruce. Or Louis?
That's Louis.
Louis, how Louis. Old?
He decides to walk with his head, not his feet, sometimes.
How but, old's Louis?
He's 18 months.
So do you just tell him to box on, or do you throw an arm around him? What sort of parent are you?
I had to just pick him up, but he's a bruiser of the two. He's a little bit tougher than Hugo, but
just put him outside for a minute, will you?
I might have to. He's not a dog, Bill.
Put him out with a dog. You got two dogs.
Exactly. How are you, boys? Good?
Yeah, gang. Well, how are you, more importantly, Tex? You've had a really good year. You started that rumour that you were being courted by a couple other clubs over here in Melbourne. So Adelaide had come screaming to you and say, no, don't go, Tex. You can't go. We'll sign you up for another year. That was well done.
Yeah, that was me, Bill. very happy. Very happy to be staying at the footy club for my whole career. It means a lot to me and my family, so... in the end, she was a pretty easy decision.
And you've been good form, Tex.
Yeah.
You must be pleased with that bit.
Yeah, it's been nice. Obviously, the body's very healthy. Mine's very healthy. So to be able to play some good footy, even though we haven't really been that consistent this year. We've played some pretty good footy in patches, but it's been a little bit frustrating for everyone and our fans and supporters. But, yeah, we're getting there. We're on the right track.
Are you? Yeah, because that's what we wonder over here. Not sure where we had Adelaide, to be honest. We knew you're rebuilding, but 5-11, and I suppose the loss to Hawthorn on the weekend. I think we're saying, what are you doing? Is everything okay over there in Adelaide?
Yeah, no. Obviously, on the weekend we took a step back. We know that we were very ordinary on the weekend. The thing for me is, I reckon the thing that's made me really impressed is that we've been able to take it up to Geelong and Brisbane and Saints and Melbourne. So they're the teams that are going to be around the mark at the end of the year. So we can do it. It's just being able to do it consistently. And that's our biggest challenge as a footy club at the moment.
What about your own setup, Texan? We've always admired you over here at Triple M. You know, you've been one of our favourites many, many years. What I love about your action is that when you get the ball from like 55 to 60 and further out, never Bill goes back and kicks over the mark, just wheels and goes and immediately.
And hits it beautifully. It's all about the timing, isn't it, Tex?
Except for the weekend, I had a couple where they come off the side of the boot. But
your willingness to go straight away, because as a forward, that's what you want up the field yourself?
Well, it's hard to defend when you wheel and go as a defender. So if I can do that, then I'm sure we can get a few of the other boys to do it.
I love it.
I know. Hey, big game this week, of course. Is it true that you go alongside Rory as 233 games played at the Crows?
I don't know. Is that how many games I've played? I don't even know how many games I've played.
Yeah.
Is it 233? Is that right?
This week will be 233, and you equal old mate Rosa.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, Ash Chua, with the Carlton Draft stats.
That's it.
No, it'd be nice. Hopefully I can get, maybe, I don't know, 250 would be nice. Nice little milestone to get maybe next year. But, it's going to be a good game this weekend. Collingwood are in pretty good form. So
7 in a row.
We'll have to stop that little Dacos kid. He's a jet.
Well, and his brother. Yeah, both of them.
Both are bloody good, actually. Red said lending stats too, Texan, this year. They Carlton Drafters now personally sponsor Bill.
sorry, my apologies.
Your tally of, what are you on, 520 goals? Yeah. Is well and truly in advance of Bill.
No.
Even though you played in similar sort of part of the ground.
How many did you kick, Bill?
441. So you're
nearly 100 in front.
80, Jim. But he's played 233 games. I only played 198, so 35 more games. That's only two a game.
Well, that's not my fault you didn't play 35 more games.
I'm so just Bill, seeing if he has kicked 520.
Just another goal kicker that's in front of you.
No, Texan is a lovely set shot, beautiful kick for goal. But you've got to get a couple of those young blokes, Texan, please, in the Adelaide forward line. Get them kicking goals. Are you teaching them?
Yeah, we're teaching them. Yeah, there's a few boys that are good. Fogarty's starting to play really good footy. Yeah. We got Joshy Richelli, he's going to be a little star.
Phil Thorpe,
he's going to be a star as well. So we got some good young kids coming through. Our fans are going to be very happy over the next 10 years.
Tex, stick around, please, because we've added Bernard Vince. I don't know if you listen to the Saturday commentary box.
Yes, I do. Tune in every now and again. I love how you just pile on. He's very simple, isn't he?
We're not sure about him, so I'm going to ask you about him next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I am seriously going to pick up this screen and land it on your fat head.
Right now, we're joined by one of our favourites.
Tex,
Texan.
Taylor Walker.
Yes, and only two people in this conversation can be regarded as Adelaide Oval legends.
Well, Tex can.
Myself and Tex.
You, no.
Bill, how many do you want me to average there?
What
had to be
average?
Tex. Had to be 60, didn't it?
Oh, I would be up there.
So,
I'm
Bill.
I'm not talking about cricket at the Adelaide Oval. You know how I went in the bush.
Oh, no. Well, that was embarrassing.
How did he go? What did he do?
We couldn't lay bat on it.
Well, you're supposed to be then, some sort of cricketer from Broken Hill.
But then when I did, JB, I was putting all areas of the Adelaide Oval.
Now, Bernard Vince is part of our Saturday calling team. How are you assessing his work?
Oh, he's doing a little bit of homework. The first time for that, he wouldn't have done that at school. But he's going okay. What do you boys reckon?
Well, said, you know what he is? He's a little fish in a big pond over here.
Is he?
Yes, but he struts around. He's actually bloody happy with himself. Do you find that when he goes back to Adelaide?
Yeah, he does tilt the chin up and pin the shoulders back, doesn't he? He's very happy with himself.
He was talking about you the other day, Texan. He said, not both ears big, just one. He reckons you got one ear bigger than the other one.
I do, actually. I do have one ear bigger than the other. I did hear him pile on about when I asked Duck to get a Guernsey sign too, Bernie.
Yes, he did. And his special comments, he goes all over the callers, isn't he?
Yes.
When the callers are supposed to call that goal, have we got it there?
Well, we've got one of them.
Well,
Daniel goes through a bit of a smart-ass buckaroon.
No.
It was a real smart-ass play.
He's on his own.
Gallant's going to go to the Texan. It was a smart-ass buckaroon bringing the ball back in.
Smart-ass.
And Daniel has coughed it up to Gallant and now Walker. Kick on the way.
Oh, he's kicking.
Yes, there it is.
He's treading over some of my best stuff, Texan.
Yeah, he needs to take that on board. And he needs to get his words out if he's going to start speaking.
Yeah,
that is also true. Well,
and
I love
Tom Rockcliffe.
I love this because Rock's in a category of his own. But Texan, you were a part of the Friday huddle, or was it Sunday?
Sunday rub. Yeah.
And you just took our man Nath Brown to task beautifully. Ever listen?
Tex, the development across the board, I think, this year for your players has been good. You're not relying on one player to get 40 or one player to kick 8. I mean, guys like Schoenberg, Scholl, they keep stepping up. Obviously, Himmelberg in the forward half. So you're getting performances from pretty much everybody without anybody being amazingly outstanding.
Yeah, Scholl was pretty good on the weekend, wasn't he, Brownie?
He certainly was. Yeah, I like the way he's sharp, kicked a couple, uses the ball well.
He didn't play.
Oh, sorry, mate. I'm looking back at the
Wrong stats. Oh, got him. You set him up beautifully, Tex.
I wish I went just a little bit longer with him and got him in the deep end, but no, it was good to see he's doing his homework.
Just having a look at all-time goal kickers at the Adelaide Footy Club. Texan, of course. Tony Modra.
Superstar. How many did he kick?
Well, he kicked 440, but 118 games.
Right.
He was a star. Do you used to watch him, Texan?
Oh, I love Mods. Love Mods. I've met Mods a few times, and I now know that I don't get in a shout with him.
No.
But he was a star. Eddie Betts kicked a few goals there. Who's been the greatest player, just one, from the Adelaide Crows? Who's the greatest player ever?
That I've played with or that has played for the Crows?
Actually, for the Crows and you've played with. So two, if you want to.
Oh, gee, that's hard to narrow down. I reckon I've loved Andrew McLeod. He was one of my all-time favourites. Him and Mods were my two favourites.
Right.
And played with, you can't go past Eddie Betts. He was phenomenal. The one bloke that was a very, very consistent performer as well that I played with, Scott Thompson.
Ah, yes.
Scotty, yep.
He was a very, very good performer. And he performed every single week. So
you can't go past Andrew McLeod for me.
It's difficult.
Rasciutto. And big time as well.
Rasciutto's the only other one.
Yeah, but we don't like...
Paul, please, yeah.
No. Not the porpoise.
Not the porpoise.
Don't bring him. He was going beautifully, Texan porpoise, until he got those high sort of buttock strains just couldn't get through.
Wait, you get a buttock strain, they're hard to get through.
But he couldn't get through them, Bill. Lower back, sort of upper thigh, and they just used to work him over the porpoise. Roo, we will all say, but because he works for us and is that happy with himself, we won't say it. And you can't speak either.
And you can't understand him anymore. Yeah, down here on the Bowery.
Coughing, spluttering. It's like he's got COVID 24/7.
Hey, we'll let you go, Tex. You got the boys there, but you'll be watching the State of Origin tomorrow night because you're a proud New South Welshman.
Oh, I will be. I'll be watching that tomorrow night. We'll go 2-1 up.
Exactly. Broken Hill boy.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Of course, we knew that, Bill.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Now, take Hugo and Louie and give them back to the much more capable parent of the two of you.
Well, she's out shopping, trying to get some new rugs for the house. So who knows what I'm going to go home to with the credit card, what it's going to look like.
New rugs for the house. Cool. You see those cheap rugs.
They're
just
not
send
a cheap purchase.
Well, they say they're 50% off and you walk in there and they put it on 75.
Well done, Texan. Congratulations on the extension. Richly deserved. Look forward to seeing you on the weekend. I'll be over there to call that game.
Good on you, boys. Thanks
see you, mate.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Porter, he should have won one or two Brownlow medals. Come fourth twice.
This
no,
is a bit
come
lippy.
Second four times. No, yeah. The other way around.
Second four times.
Oh, Jimmy boy, this came across my desk, and I love this. I can't believe it, and I love a good scam, all right? Yes. Have a listen to this, Jim. Yes. Police in India have had to shut down a cricket league in India that saw 21 farm labourers and kids, farmers, Jim, masquerading as a professional cricket player.
Why could they have been?
Well, they had Indian Premier League shirts on, right. So they had the Chennai Super Kings shirts.
Tops, yep.
The Mumbai Indians, the Titans.
Yes.
They were paid $5 a game. They went out to a little farmland.
Ooh,
and
it's like a strip of carpet they're playing on.
They hired a field. They mowed the pitch, which is carpet. They set up five HD cameras, designed graphics, and downloaded crowd noise from the internet.
They even found a commentator who sounded like Harsha Bogle.
Exactly.
Who's the voice of cricket in India.
And he actually got onto it and he said, "I can't stop laughing. You must hear this commentator." Umpires were telling the players whether to score runs or get out depending on the instructions they were given on walkie-talkies. So they've got walkie-talkies
so
on the umpires.
Why were they doing all this?
It went on for 2 weeks, Jim. They actually got to the knockout quarter final. It went on for 2 weeks. They were Indian farmers out the middle of this farm. They were trying to get the Russian gamblers. They hooked them in. They fooled the Russian gamblers. So they were betting on this Indian Premier League. They thought it was the IPL. Because these farmers were
can't
playing a game
that
of cricket.
Stupid, surely.
It went for 2 weeks.
No.
So they've been all arrested and things like that. It went on for 2 weeks, but they hired cameras. What about that? They've got design, graphics, downloaded crowd noise, and had a commentator.
No way.
Oh, that is fantastic. So I'll put my head together.
You put your head together.
Not properly.
With what?
A screwdriver. And I've come up with a magnificent topic, Jim. You ready for it? Mm-hmm. Hence. What ridiculous scam have you fallen for?
Oh,
it's got to be ridiculous.
Yes.
Like Indian farmers playing cricket and the Russian punters.
I think even Russians would realise that's not
well,
proper
Well, they
cricket.
Don't know cricket, do they? They'd have no idea. They just want to have a bet.
You'd expect you'd look at that and realise that wasn't real.
But they have no idea about cricket and how good cricket is.
All right.
And the IPL.
Rabsy, what are we giving away?
Two tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Triple M presents Red Hot Chili Peppers 2023 Australian Tour with Post Malone, if you don't mind. Yes. Marvel Stadium, February 7. Tickets are on sale right now, livenation.com.au.
And Matty G's playing too, I think. No.
No. Yeah, and right. His name's Matty O.
And Matty O. 133353. What are people ringing
Hello,
with?
Matty O.
Oh, my God. What ridiculous scam have you been, what?
Sucked into.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I don't understand how you do that.
You get paid for it.
Oh.
Good scam, this one, Jim, over in India. 21 former farm labourers and farmers and kids, and they had their own IPL. So they hired a ground, they set up five HD cameras, designed graphics and downloaded crowd noise, and it was on the internet, and the Russians fell for it and started betting on it. And it went for 2 weeks, Jim. That's a good scam.
So they had people masquerading as cricketers.
Well, they did, and then the umpires had walkie-talkies, and they said, "You've got to go out this ball." And they did.
The The Aussies masqueraded as a decent cricket side.
I was wondering where you were going with it.
Yes, now, 133.53, yes. What's the question you're asking?
So the question is, what ridiculous, has to be ridiculous, scam have you fallen for?
All right, Andrew's out there. Doreen, Andy.
Andy's in Doreen.
G'day, Doreen.
Hey, what happened, Andy?
You there?
Yes. Yeah, we're on air.
Yep,
yeah,
g'day, how are you?
Good, good. Welcome back. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, good, thanks, Bill. Yourself?
Good, buddy. What a ridiculous scam have you fallen for?
I actually didn't fall for this one. This is one I created in, I think it was grade 3 or 4.
Yeah.
The local sausage sizzle was put on by the Mother's Club at school, and Dad used to be in the Lions Club, so I noticed he had some Admit 1 tickets in the garage, and they're exactly the same as the sausage sizzle tickets. So I took a few reels to school and see what colour they were using that week, and had 3 sausages the first week, and the second week, I thought, oh, I'll probably make a bit of money out of this. So I started taking a couple of tickets back and said, oh, I want a refund. I don't want the sausages anymore. And did that for a while. Well, I took it one step further and I thought, maybe I could start selling them. The Mother's Club sold them for 30 cents. I was popping them off for 20 cents.
Undercutting them.
That's good.
I started making a bit of a killing, and the Mother's Club were wondering why they were starting to run to the loss. So assistant principal was sort of watching me and watching what was going on, and I got busted, and Dad was called into the office of the principal, and they said what they had to say, and Dad's come out in the car and he goes, look, I should be mad of you, but he goes, I'm bloody proud of you.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Dad.
Stay there, Andy. A Linden. Hoppers Crossing, Linden.
A Linden.
Skinny, fat, Rabsy, how you going, boys?
Good. What are you up to, Linden?
Nah, I'm on my way home from work, Bill. What about you, buddy? What are you up to right now?
Well, just
working on the joke?
No, I am. Thank you, Linden. Yes. What scam have you got for us?
Right, I got a good one for you, boys. I was in Hong Kong a little while back there. Old mate selling CDs off the side of the road on a blanket there. Mm-hmm. I rocked up there with me discman, made him play the CD, so I didn't think he was selling me blanks, as you do, you know what I mean? Played the song, yeah, next one. Played the song, yeah, next one. Got back to me apartment. Old mate had only put one song in each CD, didn't he?
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, Lyndon.
Yeah, what do you got, Bill?
Sucked in.
Paulie's in Bendigo. Hello, Paul.
Oh, Bendigo.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. Might have someone up there on Friday.
Mate,
wander up to Bendigo. I am Paul. I'll catch up with you.
All right, Bill. Any pub, mate, I'll be there.
Any pub.
Mate, 20-odd years ago as uni students, mate, we're on the Terps. We're looking for get-rich-quick schemes, so we start ringing the restaurants up, telling them we can supply them with yabbies. Ooh. Right? Gave a ridiculous price on them. We were flat out, mate. It took off like it was unbelievable. And we about 6 months we did it, and we had to wrap it up because we didn't have any dams in Bendigo left that we could raid.
Oh. So you're just roading with the net, the dams, and selling the yabbies. How good. Well done.
Yeah, mate, you get out there, you take the star, pick it out, and you run through with the net.
That's it, Jim. I used to do
I've heard about it, yeah. Bill.
Me
and
Palmer,
the farmers aren't happy.
Me and Palmer Bryce used to do that suddenly in Drury.
Suddenly their dam's been raided, James, from Hobart.
Jimmy.
Billy and Brayshaw show. What's going on?
That's
it. It is exactly what it is.
When have you been scammed, Jimmy boy?
Mate, the first thing I'm going to say is, like, these guys have good stories, but I think they're playing the little leagues.
Oh, right.
About 8 years ago, I managed owned a couple of cabs, and Uber was coming, so I had to get out.
Good.
Yes.
It was a time of the organic phase taking over everything.
Yes.
It was a bloke in Melbourne, put an ad up, ultimate rights to Tassie for this new organic stuff, cleaning supplies, everything you can imagine. Yes. Looked great. Came down, went around to a few shops, got a few orders in the IGAs and whatnot. Thought, right. Yep, this is going all right.
Good.
Took the 20 grand. The stock I was supposed to get, he sent down, but it was all to me at retail, not at wholesale prices. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's all right, because when you sell it, you'll get that amount. I'm like, yeah, all right. Sent me one small T-shirt, and I'm about Billy's size, so... That was a bit less on the 10 they were going to come.
And?
3 months later, I had to pay another 10 grand to finish a stock order.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a phone call that he was crook, couldn't do it.
Oh.
Vanished. 6 months later, I got a phone call from someone else saying, did he rip you off as well? Bang, 30K up in smoke.
30!
Oh, for Jimmy Boy in Hobart.
Oh, no, Bill.
No good. No cleaning there.
Organic cleaning products.
Exactly.
Trav Beveridge. Hello, Trav.
Trav.
going on, fellas?
Just Jim, sitting here on the radio. What are you doing?
Yes, Trev?
I'm talking to a couple of legends. Jim, get back to bloody North Melbourne, mate. Jesus Christ.
What's going on down there, Trev?
Mate, it's all right.
We'll be right.
Bright. The only way is
stay
up.
Stay with us.
And don't worry, Fat, Geelong will lose again. Yeah. Anyway.
I wasn't worried.
So years ago, boys, I was lead singer of the Matchbox 20 tribute show.
Rob Thomas.
So, yeah, a bit of Rob. And anyway, we had a Bucks night across the road from Maxine's in Sydney Road. I'm sure Bill knows that one. By the end of the night, we finished at our venue. We're going across and one of my Samoan mates goes, oh, why don't we try and get you in as Rob Thomas? I'm like, see how we go. We got the entourage anyway. He had the sunnies on. He goes ahead, goes up to the booth. Oh, I've got Rob Thomas here and he wants to keep it quiet. Do you mind if we come in? They're like, yeah, no worries. Come in. We're getting free drinks, shots, lap dances, everything for free. Anyway, a bloke come over about 2 hours later and he's like, oh, you know, great to have you. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Look, I appreciate the fact you guys are keeping it quiet, you know. So I put down the whole accent. He goes, well, just wondering if you could get up and do a song. I was munted by this stage. I couldn't even remember the words to bloody the song Push that everyone knows. And we got bloody found out and kicked out.
Well, you've had a good night.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we bloody oath we did.
Well done, Trev.
All right.
Good.
And Paul, Yarra Junction, Bill.
Paulie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Oh, great. I'm riveting radio, by the way, Billy. This has gone really successful.
Shut up. We've had about 8 calls and it's actually good.
Just a quick one. I've been getting ripped off the last 7 years. I've been getting promised a joke at the end of every show.
There we are.
Hasn't even got a sponsorship anymore. What's going on there, Bill? In the world of Google and the websites and all that sort of stuff, you could find something humorous, but no, you still cannot do it.
Well, you wait for today.
We got Todd from Bowen.
Paulie, you wait for the end of this show.
Yeah, actually, don't listen today. I can't find one. I've got now to get one.
Not bad topics.
No, very good.
Not bad. Well, Rags is in the middle.
Well, he stuffed it up. Tried his best to stuff me up.
Still good.
Yeah.
All right. So, who did you like?
Well, I can't remember the first half.
I like Paulie from Bendigo.
Well, he reckons he had a good
selling yabbies.
Yeah, that was really
ripping
good.
The dam
for 6 months and then no more yabbies.
No more dams.
Paulie, you and a mate are heading along to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers next year, February 7, Marvel Stadium with Post Malone. Grab your tickets, livenation.com.au.
Well done.
Well done, Paulie.
Thank you.
Oh, not there. Andrew.
Thanks, mate. You
on me here? Yeah, we got there.
I'm here, mate.
Well, thank you, Jim and Bill, for your amazing generosity. Paulie, is that what you were saying?
That's what I was about to say. Thank you very much, boys.
Good on you, mate.
And I liked Andrew.
Which one was Andrew?
He scammed the sausage sizzle.
Oh, yeah, with the raffle tickets.
We're going to send him a Triple M prize pack.
All right. Well done, Andy. Good work from you.
G'day.
Still indoor, ain't?
Yeah, that's it. Nice. All right, so, Bill, we got there in the end, but not a bad one.
Well, yeah, well... Rab's tried to stuff it up.
Okay. So we're not going to tell the people what happened?
No.
All right, stuffed it up.
It was my fault.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A budding genius and a blooming idiot.
And guess which one I am?
Luke Darcy, not far away. His daughter has made a complete and utter legend of herself. We need to find out exactly what happened there and also ask him about his dogs and his young bloke is about to play for the dogs, all of those sort of things.
What kind of dogs have you got?
And Bill. We also have Rosie Walton coming in to give us some feedback, some holiday feedback.
Yes, we've been away for 2 weeks. You went to Bali.
You went nowhere.
I went to Geelong.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Where you live.
Exactly. I don't know if I left the house.
I reckon you did.
I went to my coffee shop and home.
Hmm. I rang you once and you were weeding out the front of your pubs.
Yeah, well, I had the backpack on with the Roundup, Jim. You should see me. I look like something out of space.
I reckon you've sprayed yourself.
Well, it comes out the back and goes down my back and bum, and I don't know what happened to me.
Yes,
I got fertilised.
You did.
Now, I got a bit of sport.
I got fertilised.
Got some more sport for you, okay?
Yes,
Hugo Ralph Smith plays for the Tigers. He is the Round 17 NAB AFL Rising Star.
Very nominee.
Nominee. I was about to say that. Mm-hmm. He's the son of Sean, who played for the Hawks and St Kilda, Jim.
St Kilda, yep.
Nick Dacos wins that?
Yes.
I think he's about $1.10 to win.
I would have thought, although DeConing's very good down at Geelong.
And he's
like
played. He plays a harder position.
Yes, agreed. Both very good players.
All-Australian Smokey. Give me one, Jim. I should have probably given you a heads up, but Tyson Stengel for me.
Yeah, yep.
30-odd goals, had a really good year. Have you got one? No, I didn't think
Luke
so.
Dave Zuniak.
Oh, there you go. Hey, I love the...
But he won't because they don't tend to go for the lower side.
That's right. Tour de France. Do you watch that?
No. But I know lots of people do. Our great mate Spud absolutely was addicted to it.
But the scenery, the beautiful, old towns they go through and all that. You don't have to watch the racing, but just the build-up and the ambience is magnificent.
Ambience.
It's good to watch. But we've got a bloke who finished fourth. He's a good Australian, Western Australian, Jim. He finished fourth last year, and he's hurt his glute, and he had to pull out. And this is how he described his injury.
I fought yesterday, and I really wanted to try to see if I could get past this point of pain, but it's just way too much. You have like a knife in your ass, more or less.
Oh, no.
That's it. Ben O'Connor.
No, Bill.
That's Ben.
Well, I wouldn't have thought you'd want that.
A knife in the...
No.
He pulled out Bill, him anyway. So
Frank Fringe.
Exactly. Jeepers. And the British Open is on when? This week?
Old Sheriff's Badge.
Exactly, Jim. Bill, just moving
it's,
on.
Moving on, Jim. It's this week. Yeah. It's the 150th celebration. Wow. It's at St Andrews. Ooh. The home of golf.
Home of golf.
Edinburgh, Scotland. I cannot wait. It's my favourite golf tournament of the year.
Is it?
And it's brilliant because we get home at like 7 o'clock or something and it's ready to go. Nicholas has won there twice. Tiger Woods has won there twice. The great Peter Thompson won.
Wow.
At St Andrews. It is a Cam superb Smith. Event. Oh, Cam will be playing. Adam Scott, the least warnable flyer. So make sure you're tuned in for the British Open coming up end of the week. It's going to be brilliant.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to laugh with him, but I can only laugh at him.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Super Mole,
Rosie Walton.
Here she is in a new building and new surroundings. Hose, good to see
you. It's a fresh start.
And a new beautiful top.
Not new, but thanks. Stripey. I'm going to do some feedback on while we're away because we're back from 2 weeks of holidays.
Right, yes, good.
And then we'll get into, you know, recent stuff.
Yes.
Right.
John O'Neville went somewhere interesting on his holidays. He sent us a photo. It says it's like carpet burn, except it's on your, what is this, Bill?
On his cockburn.
Oh,
sorry. I couldn't read
he
it.
He went to a town called Coburn.
Coburn, Bill.
That'd be Cockburn.
No, it is.
Because they don't say it in Coburn. Perth. I'm assuming this is not in Perth, so it's Cockburn. Well, how would you like say that. It, Hose?
I'm a lady.
Yes, you are.
Copper.
So she says copper.
Thank you, Jono. Tristan Forrest messages, and he's not the first person to ask this, but he's saying, can you get Ross Noble back on your show? Because the meeting of the minds between Ross and Bill was something to behold. You can hear it on the Listener app, but that was extraordinary radio.
Yeah.
Have you gotten over that yet?
No, but he's not quite right, is he?
Oh, it's his fault.
And I'm up here, my threshold. Whatever it is. And poor old Ross David Noble's down here. Been a bad day for the Nobles.
It was hilarious.
This came through from Alex Dean. I don't know what it is, but I'll read it out. G'day, guys. When I turned 18, the boys at work started calling me Craig because Alex is a baby's name.
Oh. It's not bad.
Craig.
I don't mind that. Craig. As they say in the States. In the
Craig. State. Yep. Brett Kenny noticed something on Thursday night in the TV coverage of the game down in Geelong, and he wrote, GMHBA stadium lights must be too bright. There's a bloke in the crowd wearing sunnies.
Oh, well,
and Rabs, you went to Torquay over the break.
You're in Torquay. Mm-hmm. You drive out of Torquay. What's the first thing you see?
You go through the first roundabout, and you could genuinely see the lights from everywhere.
See, Jim? They light up the whole state.
There was no power anywhere else but GMHBA Stadium.
No, they don't.
They do.
Bill.
They are magnificent.
Lights were on at the SCG in 1978.
Yeah, but they're low voltage. Rock and roll.
Yesterday, we moved into our new studios, and you, for the first time in I don't know how long, changed your computer screen, the wallpaper, from Lindsay Lohan, to what?
To a mark that I took over Gary Ablett. An absolute hanger, and Craig Kelly, and Gary Pert.
So you've changed your screen
screenshot.
So you can look at yourself.
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Well, there was a video put up yesterday, and we've had some feedback about that.
Yes.
Robbie noted that he's got multi-screen too, so he's got two screens. He's got, you know.
I don't like that.
You don't?
Well, and then I've got my computer screen. I've got three screens.
three screens.
It's
brownless.
Like three phones.
Yes.
You can't have it. It's too many screens.
But David asked, do you need an office? Like, he needs some personal alone time.
That's the other thing, Jim, because they stick out, and if anything pops up, the whole building will see it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just sometimes you hit a button and this stuff comes up.
No, it doesn't.
No? Not anymore?
Not for anybody else in
except
the building.
Except you, because you don't know how to have
one of those hubs. I need a hub.
There's honestly so many layers that are wrong with this conversation.
Brendan Palmer noticed that in our beautiful new studios, good to see that PTJ still has his footstool.
Yes, I do. It's a bit high though, Hose.
I know. All right, we'll get you a new one.
What do you call that?
It needs to be a bit lower.
Footstool,
yes.
And one final message saying, welcome back to Bing Tang's Brayshaw and Protein Shakes Brownless.
Yes.
How many Bing Tangs did you have?
Well, I'm not a big beer drinker, I have a couple.
Yes.
And that's about as many as I can have.
Each day.
I end up looking like you otherwise.
No, well,
I get the bloated guts.
Actually, I'm going down and you're going up.
Actually not
those
going
Those shakes,
up.
Are they working? Isolate.
What do you
mean, Hose?
You have to work with Bill every day. How long has he been talking about these man shakes?
Years.
Has it had one scintilla of impact on his body shape?
Well, I don't want to affect his whatever arrangement that he's got.
Yes,
but,
don't.
No. But no.
No, I actually haven't officially started till July 1, Jim. So I've only been gone 10 days.
So what was the toasty that you got from?
I was in a rush. Don't talk about that. I was in a rush.
What about I haven't started since July?
July 1.
Well, I haven't. I've been putting on weight. I told you I fattened up for market, and now I'm losing. I'm on the downhill slide.
All right, good luck.
Thank you, Hose.
Well,
see you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Crocs are back.
They've always been.
They say they're back.
Rolling blades.
Rolling blades.
Now we're joined by a member of the Friday Huddle and the host of Empowering Leaders podcast, Luke Darcy.
In his 13 seasons, our next guest was one of the best ruckmen in the AFL.
Darcy wants that fifth goal. He wants the three Brownlow votes, and I think he's just about got the lot. Five goals to Luke Darcy.
Now you can hear him rocking footy with Triple M's Friday Huddle.
Does it still batter you, Damo? Because it is a fairly common occurrence that people want to kill you.
Please welcome the Duke, Luke Darcy.
Oh, and hit this audio, please, Bartholomew.
The leaders with St. Cats of Australia, undefeated domestically in Australia this season. They've come out to prove that they are the best schoolgirl junior women's eight in the world. They're coming down to the line. St. Cats leading Winter Park Crew, United States of America.
Utterly dominant. A length to St. Catharines, school from Australia.
And Sienna Darcy, a part of that crew, is a world champion.
G'day, JB. G'day, Bill. Duke. And thanks for having me this afternoon. A very proud dad moment, Bill,
great.
Today, coming back from the UK. It was a really special event, I have to say, and quite remarkable. A little school that Sienna attends called St. Catherine's College in Toorak. They're small school by number, but they punch above their weight on the rowing stage. And so to see them take on the might of the big UK schools and the Yanks, who were pretty confident, Bill, going to the final, the team from Winter Park, and they're big rowing clubs that have had, a number of years preparation. Yep. And the girls, and I am a bit proud of you, Bill, but they obviously went through the lockdown in Melbourne, so they're only able to really do ergos on Zoom. So if you actually put together and said you'll win the head of the school, you win the national, then you'll go and take on the best in the world and be good enough to do that. It was just a stunning thing to be on the banks of the River Thames, JB, in Henley. It was a beautiful moment.
I did talk to you about that because I have been in London a couple of times when Henley's on and never had anyone obviously competing in it, but I was there with the best gear I could put together only because as a younger man, Bill, some of the best viewing you will ever see anywhere in the world.
Not on the water.
Not on the water.
Mm.
Spring Carnival on steroids, Bill, was how I would describe
it. Fair dinkum, that's good.
And it, with all, 60 or 70,000 there a day attending and then the final day on the Sunday and it's got all of the English. I had my top button not done up and I got told off at one stage.
The jumper over your shoulders.
The Pimm's and Lemonade did the old polo raffle around, tied around the knot, and it was sensation. I do want to mention St. Catherine's is the school. Michelle Carroll, the principal, has done a great job. And they've got two coaches, Bridget Carlisle, John Saunders, who have done a remarkable job. Nine in the crew, eight girls and the cox, Summer, who is a legend.
Who's the cox? Yeah, I want to know who the cox is.
She's a legend.
She's steering it.
I know very little about the sport, Bill, yes. But she, you know, she'd be 54 kilos ringing wet, Summer, and she gives it to them.
Good.
Do you want to get taken on by these English girls? And she's calling out the cadence, and so she was a massive part of their success. It was awesome.
Hey, so they're world champions, Jim, Australian champions, and back-to-back head of schoolgirls champions. So this is a big, big deal, racing against America's best, the UK best, and this little school from Melbourne downtown has won.
If you framed a market, Bill, and I know you like to have a little occasionally, they would have to have been 1,000-1, I reckon, 18 months ago to have been able to do what they did. It may not happen again. It hasn't happened before. And so it was funny sitting in the stands and, the English parents are there. Yeah. And a nice little crew you've got down there in Australia. We appreciate you coming, but you're not in our class. No.
And the Yanks, what would they be like?
They were fairly confident, the American girls. And so to see this group come together, a little bit of magic of sport in it, JB, to see it happen was brilliant.
You're our expert, Jim. You're our rowing regatta
of
expert.
Of course. Ethan Dorney. But all I know is that the American and English schools spend millions on their rowing programs. Like, it sets the agenda for the whole place. Hmm. So to take them on and win is quite extraordinary. I know a fair bit about the Darcy family.
You do.
Now, the boys are a long way back from Beck and now Siena.
Yes, right.
And so that is just a fact. So when the celebrations were there, I hope the girls stepped forward.
100%. And she has got plenty of strut in our house at the moment. Is there any other world champions? I think she might have said when she got back.
What do they win when they go across? What do they actually get presented with?
This was another interesting moment because that race started, I think, in 1830. So it's been a couple of hundred years in the making. And the head of the famous Leander Rowing Club, which they tell me is the oldest rowing club in the world, most celebrated, the chairman of the Leander Club picked out their crew as his favourite crew of the whole meet. And the only way you can get into the Leander Club, I understand, is if you win at Henley or you're an Olympic gold medal winner. And they've produced more Olympic gold medal winners. So Lord Swiggy, I think his name was, invited the girls into the chairman's lounge. And they were sort of going, when does this finish? Looking at their watch, but they have honorary life membership now into
free
that
froffies
club.
And that. Or
well, I think there's reciprocal rights. Athenaeum Club, they're not allowed in there,
of course they're not
in Melbourne. But they had a life changing event. Some of those girls, I think, one's already, I think, on her way to Stanford, and US scholarships are available for a lot of them, which would be great.
Duke, what I did learn from the Olympics is it is close to the most brutal sport to prepare for. That they're almost. I know boxing and marathon running, so there's other ones.
Yeah.
But the training program that elite rowers have to put together to then be at that level is as brutal as anything you'll ever hear about.
What's the distance?
And it's just over 2Ks. The Henley's a bit different. It's 2,150. It's match racing over there. But you're right, Joe, watching the commitment of the girls, how often you drop them early morning at the river and the extra training that they do. And then as someone who doesn't understand the sport, it's the ultimate team sport. You know, you put one oar in the wrong spot once, that's probably a chance to be the end of your campaign. And so with eight plus the cox all needing to be in sync. Ooh. And if you miss training, a lot of those other schools had several backups that were there. Their school, wasn't able to do that. So it was an amazing thing.
It's a great sport not to have your kids involved because you get up and all out. None of my kids rode, and it's the best thing ever.
Well done to Sienna, superstar she is, and of course St Catharines going to hang on to the Duke because we need to talk footy next.
More Das next on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You must be embarrassed when you look back at that.
Not at all. I look in the mirror and I say, good on you, fat.
JB, Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. We're joined by one of Triple M footy's favourites, Luke Darcy.
All right, now, Friday night football is the Western Bulldogs and the Saints, and it is the last chance corral here for the Doggies.
What's going on there?
Touch of elimination final about it, Bill, hasn't it? Just haven't had that continuity. We'll have some moments where they look like they're at their best and they can compete with the very best. And then at times feels like they're reshaping some key spots in their defence that takes a little while to gel, but very competitive, proud group. And so they will know that Friday night, disappointing last week against the Sydney Swans. So becomes massive for St Kilda and the Dogs on Friday.
So I thought the first 30 minutes of that game Friday night was as disappointing as the Dogs have served up for a long time, because they would have known that Horse Longmire would have been chomping on glass the whole week after what his mob served up against Essendon. And I know Luke Beveridge would have said, now listen to you blokes, the start's going to be white hot. You've got to match them. And they just didn't.
It just shows how brutal and competitive it is, isn't it? And if you get beaten in the competitive edge of the game, you can get blown out of the water. And that's what happened. You saw the first quarter. They were beaten around the contest and really trying to play catch up after that. So you come from, you know, a kick away in a grand final from being very close to one of the great sporting stories. And you know, now they're in a real dogfight in the last part of this year.
Since we're talking about the kids, Sam Darcy, your boy, of course, going well, we hear. Yes. How is he going? Is he a chance to get a senior game?
Look, Bill, you've been through that. I think as a parent, and I haven't seen him live this year. So
haven't seen him live?
No, unfortunately, I was hoping Sunday, but back from the UK, I missed him. But you're hoping that at some point in time. But I think they handle them really well, the coaching staff these days. Understand he's grown a lot since they drafted him, so he's probably growing back into his body again. Started with that little bit of an injury.
So what is he now? How high?
He's like 6'9½", Bill, which is 207.5 centimetres.
That's huge.
Grew 4.5 centimetres apparently after they drafted
207.
Him. 207.
Where will he play, Duke? When he's 22, where's he playing?
Well, I think you've probably got to play in the ruck, don't you, if you're that height. As a kid, he was centre forward, centre back. But that's gone to another level in size. So, but as a parent, you look at the environment. Yeah. They're great environments. The medical staff down there, they look after them so well. So I think they'd be happy that he's got a few games in a row, and hopefully at some stage he's going to put his hand up.
What are you hearing, Jim?
About Sienna having some very, very, very well-earned swagger around the Darcy house. My mail is she's only just going to be marginally ahead of Sammy. He's got a nice head of steam up. Is this true or not?
Well, if that's what it's hearing around the traps, then he'll get a clip, Bill.
Yeah, the only problem is great thing with footy clubs.
The only problem is that he looks down at me and how do you want to play this young fella?
No, you'd still have him, wouldn't you?
You know what? Mid-lockdown, Bill, we sidled up alongside him. And this is at action. This flattened me for a good couple of days. And he said, you up for an arm wrestle? Oh. And I thought, yeah, no problem.
Of course I am.
Yeah. And then he won so convincingly, he said, did you actually try?
Oh,
and
no.
I was trying with every inch I've got. So that ship sailed, Bill. Yeah. So I think I'm going to have to just hope that he pulls his own head in.
No, I've got David Oscar still. Except I wouldn't want an arm wrestle. I'm no good. I'm not strong there, but I'm stronger in other areas.
Well, you've got to pick your it's about 15. That's where you finish arm wrestling.
Yeah, you don't do that. Yeah, that's silly. That's, no one
any,
does
any
arm
later
wrestling.
Than that, Duke, is a rookie error.
Misread the play there on you that did. One, no, JB.
Hey, Leon Cameron was on the front bar last Wednesday, and he spoke about the big brawl between Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. You were playing in this game. And then it was awkward either the next day or a week later because it was his engagement party.
The very next day it was, Bill.
It was the very next day.
I'll never forget. So Libber belts Matty Knights before the first bounce.
Yeah, and, I remember that.
It's all in.
Yeah.
And the Leon had just moved from the Bulldogs to Richmond, and it was his engagement the next day. And I remember getting a call from his beautiful wife, Kaz, and just said, I'm holding you personally responsible if there is. I've never been to a more awkward function.
How did
in my
it all
entire.
Start?
Well, you're thinking surely Libber won't front after he's belted Knights, but Libber was first one there. And then Matty Knights, will he turn up with his face all over the shop? And it was literally one side, and it was at Wayne Campbell's pub at that stage, the Swan Hotel in Bridge Road. So literally one side of the bar was the Richmond players, the other side was, and it was like a tinderbox. You just thought, you know, this could easily spill. I remember having a chat to Benny Gale and said, we better make sure that this event isn't ruined. We got through, but that started a 4 or 5 year sort of war between the two clubs, and those rivalries take a while to get over.
And Leon was the lightning rod for it, who wouldn't fight his way. I reckon I could, well, not me, but
no,
you
could,
Bill.
No,
you could even stand toe-to-toe with Leon.
You've never met a more passive, agreeable person in your life, and he was caught right in the middle.
Well, having said that, you and Benny Gale wouldn't be much going on there, Duke.
I'll tell you what I love, Duke, and that was on Triple M Footy on Friday night a few weeks back when you had Danny Laidley as part of the analysis crew I was working at the game on TV, so I didn't hear, but my understanding is she was brilliant.
It was one of the great experiences of the year, JB, to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't caught up with Danny in recent times. And you know what? We had about an hour beforehand. We didn't want to start the show because the education that we were getting from her and
you could ask her any question.
Absolutely anything on the table.
That
is
great.
And then to understand more of the story, she's got a documentary coming out, which will be unbelievable, and her book, which I can't wait to read. And it was just fantastic to have her back. I love the footy community is brilliant, isn't it? And everyone is welcome in the footy community. And for her to look happy and content. And I know your brother Mark's had a huge amount of influence in making sure that recovery's on track. So it was a great day. Really enjoyed it.
And how's everything else going? You're still podcasting?
I am, Bill. I'm enjoying that space a lot. Caught up with Ange Postecoglou a couple of weeks ago.
Great episode.
He was holidaying in Greece. What a legend he is. What he's done on the international stage. Eddie Jones from English Rugby was fascinating. Enjoying the chance to catch up with people like that one-on-one. So download that one.
Now, just as we let you go, of course, a massive part of the Friday huddle experience for Triple M listeners is the Chief. Ooh. And I caught up with a couple of his underlings in Bali.
Jim.
A couple of his descendants.
Chief's got a couple of... I'm not going to buy into this because I have to sit next to him
on
Friday.
There's a large monkey community in Bali.
How will he take this off,
not
Jim?
Not at all.
He'll clip him.
Very much your life will be in danger.
Well, I said to Bill, the silverback is obviously the top of the species, so that's the Chief. But these ones bear a strong resemblance. I think the Chief's...
I was there on Friday. When someone, I think JB's posted a picture of that, I believe, and someone said, there's a little laugh and then no humour at all from Chief.
No.
So I
think he'll see the humour.
No, he won't, Jim. You're in trouble and I can't wait to see it.
You can catch Darcy on the Friday Huddle and Empowering Leaders on the Listener app. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Hump Day quiz, of course, tomorrow. Jim. And well, we haven't seen him for a couple of weeks.
Got to try and get back out there.
Jay-Z is in tomorrow. And oh, there's a bit of news kicking
plenty,
around.
Plenty, Jim.
Footy space. Goodness me.
Exactly. But... right. Lucky for you and for you and the listeners that are still listening, TSL, I've got a joke.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Tighten up on the button, Rabs, too. You're way too lenient with the crap he serves up.
That was good yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
You know it was.
No, it actually wasn't.
Oh, the missus has left me again, Jim, with my obsession with Sinead O'Connor. She left me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Actually, it was 7 hours and 15 days.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Since you took your... Jim, look at Jim. Rabs, don't fall for it. You get a little roasting and then you backpedal.
No, that was shit.
Ah!
Bill.
It's been 7 hours.
That's garbage.
Not bad, no.
That's rubbish. Quiet. That's
play on words.
Yeah, no, this is a boring story.
Play on words, Jim. Not a bad song. Oh, bully, bully. Girl, Sinead.
Never again.
Never again?
No, not on your life.